All right, good morning, TGP Wardville. Something is wrong with my computer camera, and so I had to delete the last video. We're going to try it again. Hopefully, it's going to work today. I am grateful to Mike for yesterday's Ephesians 3 kind of walkthrough. I thought he did a fantastic job. He pulled out a lot of really helpful, insightful things. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we have a number of pastors, a number of elders who are able to teach well and faithfully and who are living lives that are commendable. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for the way the Lord has built his church and specifically TGP Wardville. I'm just so grateful. And I'm thankful for you all and the way that you are fighting through all of these times together, we're apart, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be with you people. Nowhere else I would rather be right now. Okay, so we're going to get into Ephesians 4 this morning, and I don't want to make this long. This could go super long if I let it, so I'm going to try my best to be cognizant of the time. But really quickly, the shape in general, you can't apply this to every single part of every single letter because there are times that these things overlap a little bit. But in general, the shape of Paul's letters if you kind of zoom back, you could put them in one of two categories. You could say the first part is usually gospel indicatives, which is what is true about the gospel message, and then what it meant of God's people, indicatives. This is what God has done in our world, and this is who we are in response to that. And then the second half, usually-ish, of his letters are gospel imperatives. So these would be commands in light of what's true, or what we should do in light of what is true. So in gospel indicatives and gospel imperatives. And so like for Ephesians 1 through 3, Paul has been going through the gospel indicatives. Here is what's true of the people of God. Here's what's true of what God has done. You know, so Ephesians 1, we are chosen to be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons. You were dead in trespasses. God has made you alive together with Christ Jesus, so that he could display the riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He's broken down the wall of hostility. Ephesians 3, the Gentiles are included in this thing that they weren't before. And that Paul prays for these things to be true in the church. In chapter 4, he's going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to get into some imperatives. You know, you could also look at Romans in general, Romans 1 through 11 are going to be indicatives, and then 12 through 16 are going to be the imperatives. Again, you know, that's a good way to look at Paul's letters and see where you are. But whenever Paul gives a command to the church in his letters, it's in light of what's true. It's grounded upon what is already true, these gospel indicatives. And so don't separate. You know, there's a way to read them where you just take away a to-do list from Paul. And Paul is saying, no, this is how you become who God has already made you to be. Really important. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say before Ephesians 4. Let's do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, important, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. There's the indicative imperative right there. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended also far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hand, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to the hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So, really quickly, the one of the big things in Ephesians is this idea of walking. It's a particular way of living. You can walk as the Gentiles. You can walk according to the flesh, according to the power of air. You know, that's chapter 2. You can walk according to the Gentiles. He says that there is a particular way that they walk, or you can walk as one who is a Christian. You can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And so that walking is going to occur a lot in Ephesians 4 through 6. So just keep that in mind. We've seen it a couple of times even today. You know, he says, I think about this first part as being kind of like life together in the church. This is what it's supposed to look like. You know, we are one. We are to be united. We're to reflect the unity, the oneness of God, even in our different gifts. And that's kind of what he's getting at here. We're to reflect what God is like. Church, God is three eternally, and God is one eternally. And we are diverse. And yet we can be unified around the thing that matters most. And so he intends for that. God intends for that to shape the way that our church works and the way that we view one another, the way we act toward one another. Also notice in verse 12 that it is not the professionals who do the work of the ministry. We often talk about we have these ministers in our church, and then we have the people in the church who are ministers. And conceiving of the church as the leadership in the church equipping the saints to do the work of ministry. So who are the ministers? You are the ministers. That doesn't excuse me from doing ministry and from doing the things that I'm supposed to do and from joining you all in evangelism and all of the works that our church does. But, my primary job is to equip. You know, the elder's primary job is to equip. That's the work of ministry that we do first. And then we are equipping you, the body, to build itself up in love. That's what it says right there. He gets into this idea of putting off and putting on. And that's going to occur. And that occurs in a lot of his books, especially like Colossians. You'll see a little bit, maybe in Romans. And then right here, the idea of putting off vices and putting on virtues. So we put off things that are sinful, that are wrong, that are displeasing to God, because those belong to the old man and our old manner of life, the old way that we used to walk. And we put on new virtues that correspond with the gospel, that are in step, you know, to use Galatians language, in step with the gospel. What he says here, men are worthy of the gospel. So we're to be looking for things in our lives that are displeasing to God and memorizing scripture and weaponizing scripture against those things in our hearts and praying that God would deliver us from those things as we also run toward virtues and seek to put on a replacement of those vices. So, you know, he'll say, let the thief no steal, put that off. That's the old manner of life, but labor. You know, don't let corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Like, stop making coarse jokes and saying things that put people down and being sarcastic, and put on the things that will build up. And so we run from these things and other things to replace those things in our hearts that will please God. And then what I love, though, is, again, this is life together in the church. This is not just your walk with the Lord is not only about you. Your walk with the Lord is not just to build you up. Look what he says. Look at the, so let the thief no longer steal labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So they're like, the church has a stake in every individual killing sin and living to righteousness. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so he says, you know, put away falsehood, but speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And so this is so foundational. It's so good. It's so important that we understand that it is that part of killing sin is not just about your own individual personal walk with the Lord, but it will have benefits for us. I think about like the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What, you know, if I have a tree of fruit and you can come and pick some of that fruit will nourish you. And so when you're bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit and you're dying to sin and living to these aspects of righteousness, you're going to make our church better. You're going to be better equipped to serve the church. And that's what it's about. It's life in the community, life together in the community of God. It's beautiful. And this is the intention of God, that we would all be putting off sin and be putting on righteousness, because we believe that the gospel is true and we have this newfound ability to do these things, and that it builds us up. This is the building up of the body as we kill sin and bring to life righteousness in our hearts as we join the Holy Spirit in that. So that's my prayer for us. One of the resources I'm going to share is a Desiring God article. I think it's John Piper writing it, and it's 13 practical steps to kill sin. So please look through that, consider that, read through Ephesians 4 again and see if the things that I'm saying are true. But I'm praying now. Father, I'm grateful for these people, thankful for the way that you've structured your church, the way that you've made church to work so that it builds itself up in love, so that we join one another and join your Holy Spirit in walking in these paths of righteousness as you lead us down them. That we would join you in walking in a manner worthy of the gospel and the calling to which you've called us. God, I pray that as a result of this devotional time today, that many people in our congregation would begin to identify areas of their lives that need to change and would begin by your grace, because they believe this gospel is true, that they would become people who walk in this manner in a particular way as we love God and love neighbor. Lord, that we would not love our sin or ourselves more than we love God and neighbor. Lord, I pray that you would help build itself up in love, even as we are separated necessarily for a season. I ask that you would put an end to this season quickly, God, that you would end this virus, that you would stay your hand, that you work miracles to flatten curves and do everything else that needs to happen. God, that you would heal people who are in hospitals, that you would help people who are on the front lines serving in hospitals and very much so ministering to people's needs. God, I pray that if an area of ministry that our church can enter into, that you'd help us to see it, that you give us the boldness and the courage and the wisdom to pursue it well, for the glory of God. And Lord, I do pray that we would not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that we would speak the truth in love to one another. God, I pray that you would knit our hearts together by faith, that you would help us to know that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. God, I pray that we would see that, we would know it, and that even that we would grow in the sense of that as God, that we have one faith, one Lord, one baptism. God, unify your people. Unify us around Christ and around his mission. And Lord, let us nourish one another with the fruit that we bear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love y'all. Have a good day.